Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you would open your Bibles there, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's good to have you all here today. Good to have some folks visiting with us. Rob and Laura and Lily and Matthew. Amen. Did I get that right? Amen. Thank you, folks, for being with us this morning. It's good to have you here. Some returning visitors as well. Summer is upon us, folks. Glad the air conditioner is working well. Amen. There's a compliment. One of the greatest compliments in the Bible is right here in this passage we're going to look at this morning. And this compliment is something that you would like. I hope that you do have some folks that would say this about you. It's a compliment that has to be earned. It's not one that's just given casually. And it's a compliment that not everyone deserves. Paul, as he speaks to the Thessalonians in verse 13, says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you." We're going to look at that this morning. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And I'll read verses 13 through 17. We'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you that you promised that where two or three are gathered, that you're there in the midst. And Lord, today we would ask, first of all, that you would direct our minds and our hearts towards the word of God and away from the cares of the world and the things that might distract us. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you today. I do pray that as we open the Word of God and look into it in greater depth, that you would guide us. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, today, truly, our desire is first and foremost to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all praise and who is able to do greater things in us. And I pray that he would do that today. I thank you that you've been able to see us safely here today, and I trust that as we meet, that those that could not be with us would be cared for as well. I think of those that are ill especially. God, please now bless us, speak to us, make this time fruitful for your glory, and just make everything that happens center on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on us. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Who are you thankful for? And don't speak out loud, of course, but just think about that for a minute. Who are you thankful for? If you had to pick one name of somebody you're thankful for, this would have been a good message last Sunday. We're thankful for Mom, amen? And we're thankful for our mothers. We may be thankful for, I'll let you think about that for a minute. Who are we thankful for? Paul makes an amazing statement. He doesn't say this just anywhere. I don't remember him saying this about the church at Corinth. And there may be some other churches that might not have deserved this compliment, but Thessalonica was different. Now remember, when you think about Thessalonica, the word that should come to your mind is persecution. These folks did not have it easy. They were being tormented. The Jews in Thessalonica hated the gospel. They hated the cross. They hated the fact that Jesus was being preached as the Messiah. And they had given Paul tremendous difficulty when he was there. And when he left behind a group of believers, just like us, amen, that stay behind to do the work that the Lord Jesus Christ started. Folks, the church is his body. It does the work that he did when he was on the earth. And there's still work to do. If you say amen more often, the message gets shorter and shorter. I knew Mark would speak out at least. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us a mission to reach our neighbors, our community, and indeed the world with the gospel. And the gospel is what matters. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you present the word of God to folks, it will make a difference one way or the other. Thessalonica, persecution. And yet, in spite of their hardships and in spite of their limitations, Paul says, I am bound. And that word bound means he has an obligation. That they were exemplary enough that he didn't really have a choice in the matter. He had to say something to thank God for them because of what God had done. And folks, God wants to work in our life. He wants to work in your life. Amen? I hope you want him to work in your life. You know, we can quench the Spirit, the Bible says. We can grieve the Spirit. But when we listen to the Spirit and when we obey what God has for us to do, God can do great things. That's what happened in Thessalonica. So he says, I am bound to thank God for you. Who are you thankful for? What would make you thankful for them? I think the thing that comes to my mind, first of all, I am thankful when someone gets saved. That they heard the gospel and that the Spirit of God worked in their life and they responded. We had a lady that got saved last Sunday night, and we pray that we could continue to minister to her. I'm thankful for you folks being here today. I look up and I see some folks and I say, praise the Lord, they're in church today. And I get excited about that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful when folks meet the needs of others. Someone gave some money, I don't know, a month or so ago. And they said they wanted that to go to a church member who has a need. I knew right away who that ought to be. And I mentioned that to the deacons. And then I took that money to that person. And they were so thrilled. It wasn't a great sum. I think it was $50, which is actually not a bad amount of money. But anyway, the first thing they said to me is, I needed that much money, and God provided it. I'm thankful that someone met that need. I'm thankful that someone would be willing to do that. I'm thankful for folks that share the load. Last year, when we ran our fall Bible camp, I was, I don't know what to say, what word to use. I was amazed at how many people participated and how many people wanted to help. And, you know, when you've got 60 or 70 or 80 children in the building, you need more than two workers. Amen? I'm thankful for folks that drive the bus. I'm thankful for folks that teach Sunday school, that play the piano, that run the sound booth, that clean the church. Oh, by the way, I need somebody to clean the church this week. We don't have anybody on the schedule. Does anybody want to volunteer for that? Okay, I got two groups here, okay? Make sure you guys get together at the end of the service, okay? We got Clara and Marinaccio's, and he's got a leg, so she's going to be doing it, right? Because his leg's still recovering from surgery. And I'm thankful for folks that are willing to pray. Folks, prayer is the fuel that drives the church. I tell you, time and time again in my life, when I've been in a situation of sorts, someone would call me or send me a message and they'd say, I'm praying for you. I'd say, well, that's easy. It's really not, and it's really important. If you want to be a blessing, the baby just agreed with my point, that's all that is. So, if you want to be a blessing to a missionary, pray for him and then send him a message and say, hey, I'm praying for you. That's huge. I talked to our missionary this week, Gene Sharp, whose wife stepped into eternity last year. And just to see how he's doing, he's off to put a radio station in Iraq. That's amazing. Folks, think about that. People in Iraq will get to hear the gospel over the radio. And he knew Brother Terrell, who just went back to Iraq. Brother Mark McMahon's going to tell us about him tonight. And I'm thankful for folks that will go and take the gospel to people. I'm thankful for folks that you could keep making the list and making the list and making the list. It's pretty clear. People that are available, people that the Lord will let the Lord use them, people that are godly, people that have convictions, people that serve God. And you may not have somebody come to you and say, I appreciate you, I'm thankful for you, but wouldn't it be great one day if the Lord Jesus Christ was to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? That's a form of gratitude. Paul says, I'm bound to give thanks. The next list is not quite so pleasant. Why wouldn't people be thankful for us? Perhaps because we're not there. Perhaps because we don't serve. Perhaps because we don't keep our word. Perhaps because we complain more than we comply. Perhaps because there are some times when we have a coarse or a bitter spirit instead of being pleasant and happy to be around. Perhaps because we don't forgive people. Perhaps because we spend more time dealing with ourselves than we do helping out others. And not a pleasant list to think about. But that's what the flesh tends to make us if we're not careful. The Lord Jesus Christ says that if we have received Him, that we have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. And now, praise God, what we've got is the Spirit living in us to direct us. Amen? So let's look at this passage just a little bit here and see what Paul has to say. Look back in verse 13 with me, if you will. He says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Bound. He's obligated. Always. It's over and over again. It's not a one-time thing. They've done so much. He keeps mentioning them to God, thanking God for them. And God's the one that gets the credit. And it's people that cause God to receive that kind of glory, that kind of gratitude. And he says, beloved of the Lord. Folks, the Lord loves you. We hear that a lot. We sang about it this morning. The Lord loves us. What difference does that make? It is the difference. First of all, if God had not loved us, Jesus wouldn't have died for us. Jesus died for you. And when He died for you, He died to save you from sin and death and hell. Starting right now, the day you get saved, things change. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. You have convictions. Look at what He says. It's very interesting the way He says this in verse 13. He says, He hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I'm not going to give you a 20-minute theology lecture. Let's just make this really practical. Let's talk about two words there, sanctification and belief. The word sanctified is kind of like the word holy or sacred. It means that something has been set apart. It's, for example, this morning when I got up, I have these two cats. No more cats. Okay, two's enough. Two's one too many. You all have two cats, don't you? One? Just one? Okay, good. You want one? No. I don't feed my cats on my good china. That's saved for special guests and for special occasions. It's got a more important purpose than feeding my cats. My cats may think that's important to eat, but there are more important things in life. My good china is set aside for when guests come over or when we have a family gathering on a special occasion. It's special. It's set apart for something different. Folks, God, when He saved you, He set you apart for something better. You know, the world has got plenty of people that want to serve the world and seek the world and comply with the world. And I don't know if you understand what worldliness is, but worldliness is the opposite of godliness, really. Worldliness is when I try to look and act and talk like and dress like and be accepted like folks that don't know Christ. Now, you haven't got to be odd, but the Bible does say we are a peculiar people. The word peculiar is not necessarily derogatory. It means we're unique. Sanctified. Folks, God set us apart for something better. He set us apart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a privilege. Anybody can serve the world. Anybody can do the things the world does. That's what the flesh wants. But He set us apart for something better. Sanctified. And it's the Holy Spirit that did that. And then, just so you understand, He makes it very clear. Here's how you and I got saved. We believed the truth. Y'all are being too quiet. The message is getting longer. We believed the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. By our faith is counted for righteousness. By grace are you saved through faith. The Bible says not by works, but because you believed. That's the Bible message. Now, that does not mean that, I can believe and go live like I want. That's an excuse for sin. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. But when I believe and the Holy Spirit comes into my heart, He will make me different. He will change me. Didn't he change you? Amen? Amen. Saved because we believe the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one that sanctifies us, and let him have his will in your life. I'm thankful for folks that do that. I'm thankful for folks that will listen to God instead of listen to the world. I'm thankful for folks that will come to church instead of whatever else people do on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And the Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And then the Bible says that the Lord's day is one of the ways we delight in him. Now, it's pretty clear in verse 13 that there's a reason he's thankful for these folks. They got saved. And then look at verse 14. He talks about the truth. And he says, whereunto he called you by, I like that phrase, our gospel. There's only one gospel. And it's not just the gospel, it's my gospel. It's our gospel, amen? Some other folks may have another, it's not really a gospel, but they might call it that. But folks, there's only one gospel. There's only one Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternal, God in the flesh who dwelt among us. There's no other way to be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, well, pastor, some guy got on the TV and said that you could be saved by believing in Buddha or Muhammad or whatever. Well, he's wrong. The Bible's right. And it's just that simple. It's the gospel, but it's our gospel as well. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is glorious, and when you serve him, you're a part of that reaching of the world with the gospel. Look at verse 15. He says, therefore, brethren, aren't we brethren? How many of you have brothers or sisters in the flesh? Anybody got brothers or sisters? Amen? I had one. I'm adopted, so I do have a sister. I didn't even know who she was until 2 years ago. Most of you have heard this story, but a few of you have not. I was listening to my, I was working one day, and my phone text message came, and I got an email. The email says, were you born in Carlsbad, New Mexico in 1957? I think I'm your brother, or your sister. I'm sorry, I think I'm your sister. And she is. I'd never had known her until 2 years ago, and she lives in Avondale. And that's an amazing thing. But you know, that's okay. The fact that I did not know my sister in the flesh, I have brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't think about that enough. We don't live that enough. I had a good time over at the Hills house on Friday night, and we were talking about some things we can do. And we need to focus on fellowship. I'm just going to be plain with you for a moment. It's good, it's imperative that we come to church and worship God. And I think we ought to be faithful to church when we can, and we can, to be here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But when we're in church, by and large, we're in services. There's a little fellowship before, a little fellowship after. But we need to have some just good old-fashioned fellowship. And one of the things Baptists are good at is eating. It got loud there. See, there's the amens. Okay, I'll talk about food more. Y'all amen to food, huh? So we're going to have some fellowships. I like to cook. And obviously I like to eat. And we're going to have some fellowships. And we do have some from time to time. But you need to make a point of coming to those. I've known people that they'll be faithful to church but not to fellowships. Folks, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I say it kind of tongue in cheek, but we're all we got. Because the world is not going to support you. The world is not going to help you. They're not going to pray for you when you get in trouble. The world's not going to try to encourage you in Christ when you need help. And folks, we're very important to each other. He says, brethren, very clearly here. He says, therefore, brethren, and then look at this next phrase, verse 15. Stand fast. This is really simple. He's thankful for where they have been. But they need to keep it up. It is so sad. There are too many Christians. One is too many, but there are more than that. Too many Christians that served God and then stopped. That's one of the things I like about our church is we've got a number of older folks here, and we're still serving God. And folks, Jesus deserves our faithfulness. He was faithful and is faithful to us. Amen? So he says, stand fast. Now, this is an important message for a couple of reasons. First of all, they are being persecuted, And there are some people that would try to stop them, to try to get them out of their place, to try to keep them from doing what God wants them to do. He says, no, stand fast. Don't be moved. Hold your ground. When I was in the army, there was this one particular mission, and it was not a pleasant one, but they talked to us about it, and they said, there may come a time when you will be placed in a perimeter in front of the unit, and you will be told to die in place. It's called a DIP, a die in place position. But it's important that you stay there because men behind you are withdrawing so they can continue the battle. And if you don't stay where you are, then a bunch of people are going to die. Now, that's a Christian principle. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that we wouldn't have to. And I got good news for you. When God puts you in a position, it's not to die in place, it's to live in place. Amen? Because if you look in the Bible at the times when people should have died, that's some of the greatest miracles of all. Paul should have died when they stoned him. Daniel should have died when they threw him in the lion's den. The Hebrew children should have died when they cast him into the fiery furnace. Israel should have died when Pharaoh's armies pursued them to the edge of the Red Sea. I could keep going without trying very hard. There are time after time after time in the Bible when God put somebody in that die-in-place position, and then he delivered them. The greatest thing you're going to see God do in your life sometimes is to deliver you from what seemed like an impossible position. Just stay put. Heard a really good message during the men's conference 2 years ago, and R.B. Owlett preached, and he's a good speaker. He's really got a tremendous way and a voice, and he's a man of God, and he stood up and he said, Paul was told, when he was on the ship that was about to wreck, he told the people, they were going to jump off the ship. He said, no, stay on the ship. If you'll stay on the ship, you'll be rescued. And sure enough, they were. Folks, stay where God put you. Stay in your church. Stay in that situation. Don't be the one that jumps overboard. And God can deliver you. Amen? And he delights in delivering people in those kind of situations. No, he says, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught. I'm not going to get myself in trouble here, but I will mention something to you. Not all tradition is bad tradition as long as it agrees with the Bible. Now, sadly, some churches have taken tradition and make it more important than what the Bible has to say. Folks, when God said it, I don't know about the tradition, but when God said it, that settles it. Someone says, we've always done it that way. If that's the way God wanted you to do it, keep doing it that way. But if you've got a tradition for the sake of tradition, that's a different question. But he had given them some traditions, some things to keep on doing. Keep on going to church. Keep on having prayer meetings. Keep on going on visitation. Keep on having Sunday school. Folks, please encourage me. Come out to Sunday school. We had a good time this morning. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, that's another hour. Folks, your whole life belongs to God. You can give him one more hour, amen? We visited a church one time in New Jersey. One of the most unusual experiences I've ever had. We got the address of the church, and we were on a trip, so we had never been there before. Got the address of the church. We pulled up in front of it, and it looked like a giant house on a residential street. And the first thing is, where on earth are you going to park? There's cars up and down the street already. We had to park down the block. And so we walked up and we walked in. And somehow or another, they had an auditorium. It was about the size of this one. I don't know how they did it in this little residential neighborhood. But what I remembered was that the pastor got up in Sunday school. And everybody who had been faithful to Sunday school for the last month, I think it was, got a loaf of bread, fresh bread. And that's my kind of church. Amen. They're handing out bread already. But folks, that ought to be something that you'd win every time. You say, well, I get a loaf of bread if I come to Sunday school four times. If you come to Sunday school four times, I'll buy you a loaf of bread. Amen? But what will the Lord do if you're faithful to him? That's what really counts. And that's what we're talking about here is his gratitude, this compliment, the fact that there's someone who's thankful for them. Look at verse 16. He says, now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, well, here we are again, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. There's really one central theme in that last phrase. I ask you the question, who are you thankful for? Maybe you thought of a person who was there when nobody else was there. Or maybe you thought of somebody who led you to the Lord. That's a person to be thankful for. But now what he says is, he says, there's this word here, it's consolation. It's the same word as the idea of comfort in verse 17. You know, one of the things that you can be thankful for is those folks that are there to comfort you when you need to be comforted. Back in December, I was out for almost a month, and I went into the emergency room on Sunday morning at about 7 o'clock, and it took a long time, but finally somebody gave me a place to lay down. I didn't get to lay down until almost noon. I was ready. I was hurting. And I was so thankful that somebody would come and get me and take me to a place where I could be in less pain. And then shortly after that, it was 5 hours after that, they moved me to a room where I had a blanket too. That was nice. And once they got going, they did what they could to make me comfortable, and I was thankful for the folks that relieved my pain. You and I know people that are in pain. We know people, for example, that are living a life as a lost person. They need to hear the gospel. Are you willing to go and comfort them? If you see someone suffering, if you were driving down the road and you saw somebody have a car wreck, you'd stop out and try and help. There are people that are living car wrecks every day of their life. They need Christ. You say, well, Pastor, it wouldn't do any good. You don't know that. You got to try. The thing that will make people thankful for you is when you're there to comfort them, just like God's there to comfort us. That's what he's talking about here. And he says, and that's been the whole theme throughout 2 Thessalonians. They're suffering so much. They're starting to wonder, we've already seen it before, if they missed the rapture, if they missed the opportunity to go into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says that's not the case. He says, but remember this, whatever you're going through. And we always, every week, people are going through different things. Health issues, money issues, family issues, and that sort of thing. And whatever that is, he says, God loves us. And he says, he's given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. God can console you. God can comfort you. And he will comfort your hearts in verse 17 and then establish you, that keeps you standing in every good word and work. That's really what we're thankful for, is when somebody lets God work in their life, puts them where God wants them, and uses them to be a blessing to other people. That's our goal, amen? I ask you the question, who are you thankful for? Here's another question. Who's thankful for you? Can you think of anybody that might be thankful for you? Have you been there faithfully? Have you met a need? Have you comforted somebody? Have you done your part of the work? Have you prayed? Have you helped? Have you set your desires aside so that you could be there for somebody else? It's an important question to ask. Am I living the kind of life that others are thankful for? And I'm going to be very honest with you. If the answer is not an obvious yes, you need to make some changes. The people that we thank God for are people that have set their desires and their needs and their wants aside and taken someone else's instead. It's just exactly what Christ did for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible makes it very clear. He who knew no sin, he did not deserve to die. In fact, he could not have died because it takes sin to bring death. He who knew no sin, the only way he could have died on that cross is to take our sin upon him. The Bible says he became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Your Savior gave you and I an example that you and I should be Christians, Christ-like, and set our cares aside and take on the cares of somebody else. And if you'll do that, people will be thankful for you. Every time I hear Israel in the news, and Israel has been in the news a lot lately, haven't they? I think about the fact, folks, won't be long till we're with Jesus. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Once you step into eternity, you can't go back and relive your life. Not one moment of it. And so once you step into eternity, the only way that you're going to have for folks to say they're thankful for you is based on what you're doing right now. I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Maybe we couldn't do much, but we did what we could. I certainly wouldn't want to step into eternity and find out that I wasn't saved and die and go to hell. And please understand the gospel very clearly. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "I declare unto you the gospel by which ye are saved." And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. He says, "How that Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." He did that for your sins. And when you believe on him, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation." There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Have you called on him? If you've called on him, say amen. He saved you for all eternity. And he left you and I here for a short while. Our life is like a vapor, the Bible says in James. Why did he leave you here? So that somebody could be thankful for you. So that somebody could say, "That's the person that told me about Jesus and led me to the Lord. That's the person that came to me when I was hurting and comforted me. That's the person that shared the work with me and eased my burden. That's the person that was faithful and they were always there." Every Sunday morning at 9:45, every Sunday evening at 5:45, and every Wednesday night at 6:45, we meet in this room right over here behind the American flag. And sometimes it's just one or two of us. Never less than two that I can recall. But it used to always be three. For the Leo Jacobs, who used to sit right there, he's with Jesus now. He was always there. And I told Greg this morning, "You know, I sure miss Brother Leo. I was thankful for him because he was faithful." But we can all do that. Amen? The doors are unlocked. The room is open. The lights are on. Come on in. 5:45 tonight. You say, "Well, Pastor, I got to leave the house a little early to do that." Yeah, that's a big, big sacrifice, I know. But somehow we'll make it, amen? Come on out. Carry a tract in your pocket and give it to somebody. What if they say something, Pastor? Well, they won't crucify you like they did Jesus, but they might get saved. Folks, we're here so folks can be thankful for us. And it's not impossible. It's just going to take a decision on our part to let God use us. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.